It's hour number two of the Home Improvement Show here on KMOX. We welcome the listeners in from 97.1 as well. Hey, you guys, you want to join us here on the program? We would love to have you. Here's the numbers, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Jake Spurgeon in from Mosby Building Arts. He's a senior design consultant, letting Rich Orris have a little time off. Greg Damon hosting the show. Again, if you want to join us, 314-436-7900. 1-800-925-1120, and I promised Jim we would go to him after the break. Let's talk to Jim. You're up next on the Home Improvement Show.
Hello there.
How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing fine. I'm in the middle of remodeling a bathroom, and I'm putting vinyl plank flooring down, and this is probably a question that you have answered 150 times. Is it better to put the plank flooring underneath the vanity and the soaker tub, or is it better to go around it?
So it is okay to put it typically under the soaker tub, but the manufacturer does say to not put it under the vanity. So you want to set your cabinet first and then put the flooring up to it and then put quarter round trim around that toe kick.
Why is that?
Those LVT flooring, for example, it's a floating floor typically, okay. So it has to float. It has to shift and move, and when you pin it down with things, it doesn't let it move and expand and contract like it should, so it could warp or crack or damage.
So why is it okay with the soaker tub?
Well, the issue is typically the soaker tubs are not square. If it's a square tub, then yes, you do want to put the flooring up to the tub. But if we had like a freestanding tub, you would have to put the flooring under it, just like you would the toilet. It has to go under the toilet.
Just like the toilet. Okay, that's a problem that I've had with two other bathrooms trying to decide how to do it. And in both cases, I did it right. How's that work?
That's perfect.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're better welcome than me, Jim. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Again, folks, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. 1120. We were talking earlier about just making your kitchen a gathering place and going away from the formal dining room or even the dining room to a big island and stuff. Are you seeing that the countertops and stuff like that? I've seen all sorts of different stuff, concrete, but is marble still a big thing?
Marble is a product that you can use. I always warn clients that it's a very soft material. It stains. It's a natural product. So the more man-made products like quartz, if you want a natural product that's going to hold up like a man-made product, quartzite is a man-made stone countertop that looks beautiful and is very dense and durable.
I mean, you definitely want something that's low maintenance for sure.
Yeah. And these products like granite and marbles have to be sealed. There's typically no warranty with it because it's however it came out of the ground, that's how it's going to behave. I prefer a countertop that my family can use and abuse, and it's going to look like the day it got put in.
No,
usually quartz, man-made.
Yeah, to me, I just have a wooden plank, like a piece of plywood, and you can do wood burning on it or something.
Just replace it every year
or two.
That's
right, exactly. But that was one thing I always see, because what do you think about, like, concrete countertops?
Concrete, it's going to behave similar to marble wood. Concrete's a porous surface, so you have to seal it. It can chip, but it's a great industrial product. It gives that kind of industrial look to it. It's also nice that you can use it outside. So if you're doing an outdoor kitchen, you can pour.
Oh, I never even thought of that. That's a great idea.
Concrete, I tongue-in-cheek tell everybody about concrete. When you pour a driveway or put in a foundation or make concrete countertops, it does three things. It's going to get hard, it's going to crack, and you can't steal it.
that's true. Now with the concrete, to me, is it not heavier? I mean, is that bad for your cabinets? I mean, to me, it would be really extremely heavy.
It's about as heavy as what a stone or a marble countertop would be. So I wouldn't say it's heavier. It depends on how thick you pour it too. So you want to make sure you're using a product like cabinets that can support that type of weight. And not just the cabinets. We go through some engineering sometimes when you have a very large island with a big piece of stone. Can the house support that much granite or stone in that area. And we've had to put up beams in basements and supports to make sure that we don't start, you know, damaging the integrity of the home for an island that big.
That is a great point to make, to bring up, because I'm sure that many people never think about that, especially if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you're just trying to do it yourself. You never think about that. Hey, this is still really heavy. Is the integrity of my house going to be okay?
Yeah, it's definitely something that we take into consideration, and ensuring that, you know, weight is distributed evenly across the subfloor and your framing is important.
That's you got me on that one. I got nothing for you on that. What do you see with are white kitchens still one of the big things? I mean, it always seems like everybody wants a white kitchen, black and white kitchen. And I'm going to throw in also, what about the farmhouse sink?
It's a great question. White will always be a timeless color, but an all-white kitchen that looks very sterile is definitely not what clients and homeowners want. We want to add some wood tones, some textures, some colors, some personality to the space. Otherwise, it looks really sterile. It just looks like a hospital. It's just too clean and just there's no life to it. And as far as the farmhouse sink, yes, we clients are still asking for that farmhouse sink, but not necessarily porcelain or cast iron. They may ask for a composite or stainless steel farmhouse sink.
I think the composite farmhouse sinks look amazing.
Yeah, and they hold up a little bit better. They're not as susceptible to scratching like, you know, the porcelain or the cast iron sinks are.
Yeah, we did our countertops and sink and stuff probably about 20 years ago, and my wife still says, you know, I wish we would have just spent the extra money and got the farmhouse sink at the time, and we didn't do that.
Yeah, it's personal preference. I always worry about farmhouse sinks, though, because if your sink overflows or you get too much water or splashing, that water rolls down the front of the sink and onto your beautiful cabinets, and that water can damage the cabinets. And then something other homeowners might not think about is your belt buckle can actually scratch the farmhouse sinks because that's apron right. of the sink is there.
No, absolutely. So what do you think is going to be the big trend here coming up with kitchens? You know, we talked about smart appliances. We've talked about, what about induction cooktops?
Induction is more popular than ever because you're getting that behavior of a gas burner, which we all love, but more energy efficient. It doesn't have the off-gassing and fumes that natural gas puts into the house. And they're easy to clean. A smooth cooktop is so much easier to clean up than the grates of gas cooktops that you have.
So, and safer for your family, especially if you have little kids.
Much safer. You can boil water so quickly. They're so efficient. It's a really, really neat product. And along with the induction is the hidden cooktop, where they actually put those burners underneath the countertop surface.
Oh, come on.
Yes. This is, I think, it, when I get time
you
to
gotta, do, you got to explain this. Come on.
The next time I do my kitchen, I tell my wife I am going to do these type of burners. The element is under the countertop. So you look at your island or your run of cabinets, and you don't see any burners. But there are four induction elements under the countertop. And you usually open a drawer or something, and the controls are right there. And you literally set your pot or frying pan directly on your stone, and you cook on your granite or quartz countertop.
Wow, that is crazy. That is crazy. I'd be so worried about burning the countertop or whatever else that is.
You have to remember that in induction, the element, the burner, is not heating up.
Right.
It's magnets heating up the pan. So the pan gets warm. It gets hot. But your stone and your countertop stays nice and normal.
Well, that's food for thought right there, folks. We're going to take a quick break here on the Home Improvement Show. You want to join us? Love to talk to you. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. We got plenty of time for your phone calls this hour, going all the way till 1 o'clock. This is the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Home Improvement Show here on KMOX and 97.1. You want to join us? Love to have you. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Greg Damon hanging out with you. Also, Jake Spurgeon from Mosley Building Arts. He's a senior design consultant and answering all your phone calls. Again, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. 1120. Let's talk to Sue. Hey, Sue, guess what? You're up next on the Home Improvement Show.
Oh, good. That was quick. Yeah, I got a question. I'm going to be putting up a gazebo. It's a 10 by 12, and it's one of those metal ones, you know, that's going to have to be, screwed or bolted to the, patio, that kind of thing. And so my question is, my patio is 10 by 30, okay? So it's going to go over the patio, so I'm going to make it 10 foot wide, and I'm going to have it go out 12 foot. So it'll hang off like 2 feet of the patio, okay? And so now I have to dial that, down. I got to put something in the grass. So how far down do I have to dig to be able to put some kind of a post that I can bolt this thing into?
Usually if you're going to install a pier to mount a pergola or a gazebo structure to, 30 inches, I think, is the recommended depth to dig a post hole, a pier that big, fill it with concrete, and then bolt your pad or gazebo to that.
You want to get below the frost line.
Yeah, that 30 inches, 36 inches. And the other trick is to put a bell curve or a bell shape at the bottom. And that ensures that you don't have concrete heave in the wintertime, so it's not shooting out of the ground.
Oh, I got you. Well, let me ask you this. You know those things that when people build decks, they have this concrete thing about, a foot square, and it sits up about 6 to 8 inches, and they put a post in there?
Yeah, that's called a pier block, we sometimes call it.
Oh, a pier block? Could I put that on the ground? Could I dig down about 6 inches, put some minus in there, and then stack that on top and make it level with the patio and then bolt it to that?
The short answer is you could. The warning I have is that helps it from, sitting on a solid surface. If you have heavy winds come by or storms, it could lift it off out of the ground, more than likely.
It just wouldn't be as secure.
Well, I know about secure. I had one of those cloth ones, and I heard a noise one night, and I said, well, what the heck was that? I went out the next day. Well, now I know what it was. It blew away.
Yeah, so I would recommend the pier.
Okay, and I got to go down 30 inches on that.
Yeah.
Now, what about, instead of putting in concrete, what about that spray stuff? Some kind of a spray stuff that expands. Could I put that in the hole instead?
I have seen that product, and I am not familiar if, A, it's to code in our area, or what the longevity is.
Okay, because I know my cousin used it on a wooden fence post that he had to dig out and put a new one in. So, I don't know how long that'll last, but, so far it's standing. But, he just put it up a couple months ago, so. Okay, well, I guess I won't cut corners. I don't want this one to blow away.
All right, Sue, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Again, folks, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Jake, I wanted to talk a little about bathrooms, one of the things that we're considering remodeling. My wife, even though we haven't taken baths, for a long time, not that we don't smell, that's not what I mean, but, use our bathtub, I should say. My wife still is traditional. She likes that bathtub. Me, I'd rather have a huge walk-in shower. Yep. To me, that's the way to go.
Yeah, it's every household is different. If you are the individual that likes to soak, then let's do a bathtub. But if you are not a soaking person and you want to just get in, get showered, and get on with your day, you're a shower person. But you can sometimes combine the two. You can always, get rid of the walk-in shower and have a tub that you can stand in the tub and use it as a shower, like a tub shower unit. That's an option. Or what we consider a wet room, which is, it's basically a giant shower that happens to have a tub in it.
Okay, like kind of like a sauna?
It's essentially, imagine a very, very large shower that either a freestanding or a built-in tub surround. The tub is inside the shower. So you have a standing area in this wet room,
okay,
and then you have the tub area in the
next to it
in the same shower surround with glass.
And I assume that's got to be like really sealed well and stuff like that.
Everything's waterproof. There's waterproof membranes everywhere. The tile is, you know, expertly sealed behind it so nothing leaks into other areas.
What are you seeing as far as consumers? Because obviously the first thing my dad would say would be like, well, it takes away from the resale value is the you know, not having a bathtub. But is it trending more that way?
It is trending more. It was popular to take the tub out. We have more clients, actually, at least I'm finding, asking to put the tub back in for more relaxation because our lives are ever more stressful. As much as technology makes it easy, we still need a de-stressor, and a lot of, you know, homeowners enjoy that whirlpool tub or air bath or just a chance to soak and relax.
Well, that was
end your day.
Yeah, that was my next question is, are you seeing, you know, bigger tubs, I guess, along with, you know, jetted tubs, things like that?
Yeah, definitely bigger tubs, you know, because tubs are not just about, you know, having one person, but two person tubs are very, very popular to have.
Okay. That's I didn't know that trend was going on, but that's something. I mean, folks are doing that as well. Now, also, let's throw in, you talked about the wet room and stuff. That's got to be vented really well, correct?
Yeah, we do a lot of ventilation in bathrooms, and it's something that's not only required per code because we got to get that moist air out of the room, but it helps protect the drywall, the finishes, the tile, the cabinetry, and ensure that we're not growing mold in the space. And that's, you know, that's a bad word to have in a house is
right.
Mold.
And you just can't have that vented to your attic. I mean, it's got to go outside the house.
Yeah, it needs to leave through the soffit, through the roof, somewhere. It's got to go outside.
We talked a little bit off air about, you were telling us about your home is all connected and you can do all sorts of stuff with cameras and the thermostat and all this. It's just technology to me. I'm old. So, you know, technology to me I look at it like this is space age stuff, but I'm hearing that we're seeing like a lot of mirrors and radios in bathrooms and things like that.
Yeah, these more and more mirrors are having lights built in around the edges, so you get lighting. They're backlit mirrors, so you get a nice soft nightlight glow in the evening. They have powered mirrors that defog, so you can get right out of the shower and use that mirror,
nice.
And it's not fogged up. I think these are inexpensive things to have. It's a little bit more than just a traditional boring mirror, but it has functionality to it as well, and that's pretty neat. It also are mirrors that have TVs built in. So if you like to get ready in the morning and watch the news at 7, 6 a.m., and you want to know the weather or what's going on or your traffic, it tells you on the TV's built into the mirror.
That's crazy. That's a great feature, though. I mean, I would use that.
And then the TV's off, it disappears. You don't see where the TV is.
That's crazy. Now, what about, I would spend more time in the bathroom. My wife would absolutely hate it. You know, I already spent enough time in there already. So according to her, what about heating in the floor? To me, that seems like it's such a great thing. I remember they had the, probably 40, 50 years ago where they had the pipes throughout your house. It was floor. That was how you heated your house.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of of what it was called, but is that making a comeback into bathrooms and stuff?
Warm floors is what we call them. It's called a warm floor, not a heated floor. Where we run the pipes under the floor, that's called a heated floor. It's actually heating the house. The warm floor is just meant to knock the chill off the tile
okay.
in the wintertime. Quite an investment to do. It's, you know, a lot extra to have that. But I will say it's one of those things, if you've had one, you always want it.
Right.
But if you never had it, you don't know what you're missing. So.
Well, I remember that the first time that I ever seen a car that had a heated steering wheel. And I thought, who would buy this? This is, what kind of dumb option is this? And then I tried it and I'm like, oh, wait. This is really nice.
Now it's a requirement
right.
in every car that I buy.
Right, exactly.
Once I've had a heated steering wheel, every car has to have that heat.
Absolutely. That's the way it goes. Well, we got to take a quick break. We invite you to join us. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Jake Spurgeon, Senior Design Consultant for Mosey Building Arts, in the house answering all your questions. We'll be back after this. This is the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back, everyone. Heading into the final half hour of the show, this is the Home Improvement Show here on KMOX and 97.1. Greg Damon sitting in the big chair because Rich Orris is taking a little time off on this beautiful Saturday. But don't worry, we have Jake Spurgeon from Mosley Building Arts. He's a senior design consultant and has been kind enough to hang out with us here today on the show, answering all your questions, and we'd love to have you join us, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. I did want to ask you, Jake, you know, we've been kind of talking about your kitchen, your bathroom, two of the best spaces in your house. It's that everybody wants to have the creature comforts for sure. What do you think, and I'm just going to say each one, what do you think is one thing that folks maybe overlook that could really improve their quality?
One of the things that I think a lot of homeowners, especially in bathrooms, that they're not considering is a seat, you know, either it be a fold-down seat in the shower or a built-in box seat, because, you know, we all age, and even if you're young, you twist an ankle, and it's nice to sit down
sure.
in the shower. And then also grab bars. Everybody thinks grab bars yeah. in a shower are only for, you know,
handicap,
you know, accessibility, but it's also for just safety as we're in there. I mean, as we age, we all mature. That space is great if you have guests coming in from town. That they could be 10 years old, they could be 90 years old, but they're all going to take advantage of that grab bar in that shower.
Well, let's face it. I mean, it is slippery in there. It's wet, and you just never know. You know, things happen.
Yeah. And lastly, for not to stay on showers, but a hand shower, like the wand.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's great for cleaning. If you got a dog in the house and you need to give him a shower really quick, that's a great thing to use. And especially if you're using that seat in the shower to have that hand shower to help rinse yourself off is great.
Now, what about like shower heads and things like that? Or is there any new technology and stuff like that? I mean, you know, you see the rainfall shower, you see the high pressure shower, the adjustable massage shower. Anything new on that?
Not a ton of new things. I mean, some things I've seen recently is one plumbing manufacturer has cartridges that connect into your shower head that releases essential oils into the shower. That's one thing. We do have some manufacturers doing chromotherapy or light therapy, for example, red light therapy, and you can build those fixtures into the shower. So you can bathe as well as get that light therapy at the same time.
Now, you know, I live in St. Charles County. Obviously, we have extremely hard water, not really good for your pipes or just about anything else. Do you recommend anything for hard water for folks?
Usually a classic water softener and some good filtration system on the water coming in is the best solution to fix that.
So put a water softener in the basement right where the main comes into the house?
Yep, and filter the water as well. You'd be surprised at how inexpensive a whole home filter is. They last 6 months to a year. It's usually $50 for a filter. So for $100 a year, you can really filter that water coming in.
Now, is that like reverse osmosis kind of deal? Explain that to me a little
reverse bit. Reverse osmosis is typically meant for drinking. So that like your okay. kitchen sink having a separate filtered water tap. This just generally, a whole home filter is going to get the large particles. It's not necessarily going to take out the fluoride and all the stuff that we want, but it's going to pull out any sediment that's coming in from the main.
Now, as far as your home and your pipes and everything else with this extremely hard water, is that something that many folks need to kind of have in the back of their mind, like we may have problems down the road?
Not typically with the supply pipes in the house, but definitely with your faucets. Your shower heads can calcify up. Your screens in your kitchen or bathroom faucets can get some dirt on that screen that's in there. These are easily fixable. You can, you know, take that screen out and clean it. You can soak your shower head in CLR to clean off that calcium and rust and stuff.
What about like your hot water heater?
We've had
to replace ours twice now in 27 years.
Yeah, there is the whole home filter helps not to get that sediment in your hot water heater. And I know there's multiple schools of thoughts about draining your hot water heater to get the sediment out. My household does not drain it, and I have I think my water heater is 20 years old. It probably doesn't hold all 50 gallons it says it has,
sure.
but it still works.
Yeah, with two young sons that I have, I mean, our water goes pretty quickly.
Yeah.
What about a tankless water heater?
That is a great, I'm glad you brought that up. I have a busy household with four kids and my wife, so six people in our house. And we looked into a tankless water heater. And for the I wanted to have two to three people or two people showering at the same time, plus maybe an appliance going, like the laundry, sure, using hot water. And I had the Mosby plumber come over, and we had to do calculations based off the number of fixtures in the house and is tankless an option for us. And it would work during the summer because the temperature of the water coming in is warm enough that that tankless heater can get it up to the proper, you know, 200 degrees or 190 degrees. But in the wintertime, the incoming water from the city is so cold, it wouldn't keep up. So I would have to have two tankless water heaters, and the cost of two tankless water heaters is significant. Tankless water heaters, I usually recommend for empty nesters or for vacation homes. If you're an individual that spends 6 months down in Florida and you're 6 months in Missouri here in St. Louis, buy a tankless water heater. So it can stay off and it's not constantly reheating water for you.
So that's something I've always had in the back of my mind. Like next time I get a water heater, I'm thinking maybe we should look into tankless. And I never even thought about that between the seasons that there could be an issue with that.
Yeah. If you're a household of two people, great product to consider. You're a young family with lots of kids and there's lots of appliances using them in showers. Not really a great option.
All right. Well, that's food for thought right there. Let's go to the phones, talk to Suzanne. Suzanne, you're up next on the Home Improvement Show.
Hi. Really love the show. I have a question about pipes freezing. I'm in an apartment, and every year I have an outside wall for the tub is separate from the sink. So we're told if it gets to be like 20 degrees or so to run, not just drip, but run the water in the sink and in the tub area that owns the outside wall. And I do it, and to recycle the water in the tub, I have it running into a bucket, so I use that for flushing. But I hate to have all that water wasted. And I'm in South County, and I was going into St. Charles in the Black Bear restaurant, and the apartments around there had signs saying, you know, it's under freezing, everybody needs to run their water. And I don't know if there's anything I can do. They're not going to do any insulation, but I put thermostat or temperature gauges under the sink, and the temperature gauge under the sink against the cold wall is always in the 50s during winter. You have to leave the doors open under the sink too. So I was wondering, is there anything I can do?
I would say there's not a lot you can do, especially in an apartment situation, other than remodel the bathroom. And you're not going to do that in an apartment situation.
Okay.
Running the water is a good thing to do because moving water doesn't freeze. And then also, you know, turning the thermostat up maybe a degree or two might help.
Oh, it doesn't. Well, the registers are in the top of the wall, and it really, and I like it really cold, and even in winter. So, I keep the closet door open because that's on the same wall as the bathroom. So I was hoping that would help keep the air a little bit warmer. But anything under 20, you should have it run, assuming.
Typically, yeah. And then most places will say, you know, make sure your thermostat at a minimum is set to 60. Going below that is not going to be good for your pipes.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Suzanne. Appreciate the phone call. And we do have some time for some open phone calls as well. If you want to join us, 314-436-7900. 1-800-925-1120. Let's take our final break of the Home Improvement Show. We'll come back. We got Jake Spurgeon from Mosey Building Arts in the house answering all your questions. Again, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Welcome back, everyone. The final segment here on the Home Improvement Show on KMOX and also 97.1. And again, we do have a few minutes. If you want to get on, we got some time. 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Greg Damon hosting the show, but I have Jake Spurgeon in from Mosey Building Arts. He's a senior design consultant answering all your questions. And Jake, one thing that I do want to talk about, because it's always been a stickler of mine, even in my field, I want to talk about hiring the right people to be able to come out, assess the situation you have, give you ideas, not only that, but give you a clean, clear estimate and has a good rating as far as getting the job done.
Yeah, it's remodeling is one of those industries that it's hard to find the right people who not only are educated and know what they're talking about, but to have them actually execute the project as well, professionally, purposefully, and back it with a great warranty. And that's what we love, what we do at Mosby, is we take your project from start to finish, from our first meeting that we come out for free, talk with you about some ideas, let's see what we can figure out here, kind of explain what our design process is, and then also have accurate numbers that our clients are agreeing to, and then expertly install it.
I just think you hear so many horror stories, and it doesn't matter if it's a home remodeled, somebody's putting a roof on, you're having, your foundation done, something like that. We always hear horror stories of folks getting paid, maybe not taking the money, or doing shoddy work on top of it. And what is the recourse for something like that? When you don't know somebody, what do you do to kind of weed those people out and get clear, concise folks to come into your house and help you out?
Yeah, it used to be I would recommend check Google, do Google reviews, Angie's List. There's a lot of companies out there, but unfortunately we're finding out through AI and technology some of those reviews aren't truthful. If your contractors you want to work with, ask for referrals, ask for their past clients, and talk to those clients. Ask if you can go see the past clients' houses, their kitchen, their bathroom, their basement. See how the project is held up. Is what I love to say is that final fit and finish. How does it look? And that client had to maintain the space at all since the contractor has left?
Yeah, or
you shouldn't have to. It should be done so well that it's going to stand the test of time, like our Harvest Gold refrigerators.
Exactly. Well, as I told you off air, we're going to have a roof put on here mm-hmm. shortly. What about some of these fly-by-night contractors? I'm not necessarily saying for roof, but, maybe a storm comes in and all of a sudden these people are here knocking on your door every 10 minutes wanting to give you an estimate.
Yeah, I honestly would work with companies that are local, that have a home base, an office here in the St. Louis area, because what's your recourse if they either, if they don't do the work or if they don't do a great job a year or two later? They may say, oh, we have a 5-year warranty or even maybe a 1 or 3 year warranty. But how are you going to get a hold of that company when they're 5 states away?
Right, exactly. And that's the whole thing. It doesn't matter. Warranty is just a piece of paper. You got to have people to be able to stand behind that.
And to have a company with a history that does that, that's what's important. And that's what Mosby brings to the table to our clients is we love the fact that we've been around for 77, 78 plus years, and we get to provide a great service with happy clients. And we're not perfect. Nobody is. If there is a problem, we have a 10-year warranty that we're going to come back and fix it.
And you take care of it immediately.
Yeah, immediately.
So let's talk to Joel. Joel's the last phone caller here on the Home Improvement Show. Joel, you're up next.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. What's up?
Great. I've got a basement. Half of it's finished. The other half is your standard concrete floor with your washer and dryer, furnace, and water heater. We, about 15 years ago, painted that concrete floor with a floor and porch paint, a good quality one, a gray color, and it's held up really well, but it had some scratches and nicks and stuff. We want to refinish that. I'm curious to buy another good quality floor and porch paint, or if there's something better we could put back there. We go back there quite a bit, and people go back there a lot. We have grandkids back there doing art projects and things, so it's kind of a used space. We don't want it to look crummy, but I'm just curious what's available.
I would honestly just use that porch paint. You wanted to do an upgrade to it, you could have it etched, like sanded and etched off, and do an epoxy floor. I think we know those epoxy floors for garage floors,
right,
with that fleck that's in it. They look beautiful. but it's a little bit of an investment to get off that old porch paint because they need to get down to kind of virgin concrete, if you will. You got to sand it or etch it off to make it the new epoxy floor stick. Versus if you've scratched the paint, just paint new paint over it and you're good to go.
Okay, so to do an epoxy, we would have to get all that old paint off and get down to bare concrete.
Correct.
And that epoxy is waterproof, am I correct on
it
that?
It is right? Waterproof.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was hoping to find out. Appreciate it. Thanks much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joel. Appreciate the phone calls. And again, folks, just like that, it's that easy. Jake's answering all your questions here on the Home Improvement Show as we got just a couple minutes left. You know, Jake, we were talking about just really knowing the folks that's going to come out. And it doesn't matter if it's for your home, for your car, for whatever. You have to know the people that's going to come out, give you the correct advice. And that's one thing, because I've had Mosby out to my house, and that's one thing that I've always found is you guys give the correct advice all the time when you go out there.
Yeah, we try our hardest. I always joke with my clientele, my clients, that we're kind of house nerds. We love to research and see what products have stand the test of time, what's going to be great, and then, you know, making sure that if we don't know the answer, there is 150-plus employees that will probably have the answer. So we have a deep bench of knowledge to go to and access. If I don't know the answer, there's somebody at Mosby I can call.
Well, not only that, but there's not all sorts of different subcontractors that maybe never talk to you, but they come in and try to do something to your house that a general contractor has authorized, and that's not really always what you want.
Yeah, and that's a miscommunication there between that subcontractor and that contractor. At Mosby, we do it all in-house, and clients love it because we can control the final finished product and the journey to get there.
And not only that, we talked earlier about the design, and if you want to upgrade your kitchen, your bathroom, your family room, your basement, you guys have design people come out and give you ideas. You may have an idea in the back of your head like, hey, I'd really like this, but this would be more feasible.
Yeah, we really help you on what your ideas are to help execute that finished product.
So tell us about Mosby. Where can folks get a hold of you at?
Our website's the number one thing, you know, callmosby.com, or you can call us at 314-909-1800. We have live people answer the phone and can help you with an appointment to have a free consultation. Myself, Rich, or any of our number of design consultants can come out and talk with you.
And that's just it. They'll come out. You guys will come out. You'll talk to them, give them some ideas and stuff like that. Maybe if they don't even hire you, but you'll still be able to help them out.
Yeah, we want clients to have the correct answer. Even if they don't work with us, we want to have them to have that answer.
Well, Jake, thanks so much for joining us here. This has been the Home Improvement Show on KMOX 97.1. Folks, we'll catch you next time.